Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, here's a familiar list. Hotmail, so yesterday. Gmail, maybe today. Mosaic, like 100 years ago. Firefox, starting to go gray. Text messages, totally old school. iPhone 4 and handheld video conferencing, today. But at the pace technology develops, maybe not for long. And finally, Unfriend, last year's Oxford American Dictionary's Word of the Year. And this year, anyone willing to make any bets on what that word of the year might be? Well, the point is that things move at a blinding speed when it comes to the internet. And according to a survey of hundreds of technology thinkers, over the next decade, the internet is likely to change even more than anyone could imagine. And it will have an equally unimaginable but beneficial impact on our relationships with each other. So say hundreds of internet futurists, recently surveyed by Lee Rainey, the director of the Pew Internet and American Life Project. He'll discuss the digital world of tomorrow at this year's Conference of the World Future Society, which starts Thursday in Boston. Lee Rainey joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Rainey.
Hi, Meghna.
So let me ask you, you did this huge survey of several hundred internet prognosticators, if I can call them that. But this isn't the first time that's happened. A similar survey was actually done back in the 90s. So before we get to what might lie tomorrow, can you take us back to that first survey and tell us how close did they get to what actually we see in our life today? How accurate were they?
Sure. We did some work in the early 2000s, actually going back to the people who were making predictions about the internet in the early 1990s. So we actually didn't survey people. We went back and looked at what they actually said in government testimony, in documents for their technology firms, in filings to the SEC, in commentaries, in technical papers, and in the mainstream press. We found that they were amazingly prescient about the way that the internet would eventually become a mass-adopted technology, and that they were pretty smart about the impact it would have on a whole variety of social and political institutions. So instead of experts being wrong in many cases, we found that there was a large consensus in that early population that the internet, in fact, would change politics a little bit, would change our social relations a little bit more, and that it probably wouldn't have the impact on education that everybody was hoping that it would have.
I see. So it failed to have the impact there. So fast forward then today, what do these internet experts see as the world of tomorrow for us?
Well, this is the fourth time we've gone into this well, and we had asked a bunch of questions about the year 2020 and what might be the social and political impact of the internet. We were surveying in an environment where there was a lot of chatter in the technology community about Nicholas Carr's cover story in the Atlantic Monthly, mm-hmm. where he asked the question, is Google making us stupid? So we basically posed that question to a couple of hundred experts and asked them to cast their vote in either for a pro-car point of view or an anti-car point of view. And 81% of the experts agreed with the following statement that we said, by 2020, people's use of the internet has enhanced human intelligence. As people are allowed unprecedented access to more information, they become smarter and make better choices. Nicholas Carr was wrong. And 81% of the experts in our survey said, yes, that was the case. Although Carr was one of the respondents in the survey. So it was a wonderful exchange between him and Google officials in our survey. Would you like me to read you what he said?
Yeah, briefly, if you could.
Okay, sure. He said, I would add to my analysis that the net's effect on our intellectual lives will not be measured simply by average IQ scores. What the net does is shift the emphasis of our intelligence away from what might be called meditative or contemplative intelligence towards more utilitarian intelligence, and that's not a good thing. The director of Google Research, a man named Peter Norvig, challenged Carr by saying the following. My conclusion is that when the only information on a topic is a handful of essays or books, the best strategy is to read those works with total concentration. But when you have access to thousands of articles, blogs, videos, and people with expertise on that topic, a good strategy is to skim first to get an overview. Mm-hmm. Skimming and concentrating can and should coexist.
But by that argument, in an era of ubiquitous information, nothing would deserve in-depth and meditative concentration, perhaps. But Lee Rainey, let me also ask you, you surveyed these experts about social interactions on the web.
We asked them about their own personal experiences of the web and then what might be happening to social relations in their lives by the year 2020. There was overwhelming support for the notion that social interaction online will only get better over time. There were lots of interesting stories among these experts just about the way that email had affected the quality of their friendships. They said it had gotten better. They'd made new friends. They'd diversified their social networks. And they talked about social networking technology getting even more powerful in the next 10 years and that making it better for them to interact with all different kinds of people in interesting ways.
Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly it occurred to me, Lee, if I could just ask you this, don't you kind of have a self-selecting population of technology geeks who are inclined to say that anything, any new development in the internet is a good thing, so they're all going to be pretty gung-ho and positive about it?
This is not a scientific survey. We've identified these experts and they opt into an online survey. We're not holding it out to be quantitatively representative of every smart person who's ever done some good thinking about the internet. But what's striking to me is that while there's absolutely a tech enthusiasm for some of these questions, in the four surveys we've done over the years, there is a very divided universe of people who talk about the impact of technology on privacy, tolerance, the way that groups get along with each other. So there's not a uniform view at all that technology is just going to improve the nature of communities and the nature of the way that people interact with each other in groups.
Yeah, and last question to you, because I think, you know, I look back at the earlier survey from the late 90s that you did, and the questions and responses that people gave you today, and it seems like a lot of those issues that you just raised in terms of control of the internet, anonymity, things like that, we're already dealing with these issues today. It's not a matter of the future. Those are present in our world at the moment. So is it also part of the magic of the internet such that the real changes we can't actually foresee?
That's very much the case. And some tensions are going to be persistent. They have existed for 20 years and they will exist for another generation without resolution. One of the ways that we tried to approach this question was to ask a question that we get asked a lot at our project, sort of what's the next hot new thing going to be? What mm-hmm. should we be preparing for? And so I thought these technology experts, immersed as they were in this life, would give us a great, solid bunch of answers about what could be anticipated. As a matter of fact, we framed the question in the following way. Hot gadgets and apps that will capture the imagination of users in 2020 are pretty evident today and will not take many of today's savviest innovators by surprise. Only 16% of these tech enthusiasts and tech prognosticators agreed with that. They were much more likely to tell us, as a matter of fact, 81% told us that the innovations of the future would actually come out of the blue and would take everyone by surprise, even the people who are in the middle of the industry.
Well, that's Lee Rainey. He is director of the Pew Center's Internet and American Life Project. He's going to be in town this week for the World Future Society Conference, which is happening right here in Boston. Lee Rainey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.